I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, what is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Mike Goolsbee back on the Blue and Gold YouTube channel talking some Notre Dame football. You know, usually Goolsbee and I, we do these shows. We have a whole outline of things we're talking about. The headline of this video, in-depth on Notre Dame's quarterback situation, that's all we're talking about. That's all we have planned. We have Super Chats turned on, so you guys can drop Super Chats. We can talk about whatever you guys are vibing with. But this is just two dudes with the same first name, just kicking back and talking some Notre Dame football with the folks on the quarterback position. Goolsbee, trust everything's well on your end, man.
Yeah, life's good, man. Life is good. Staying busy over here, brother. Still haven't fixed this cord just yet. It's on the off-season list of things to do.
Okay. So for folks on YouTube, watching on YouTube, please hold your complaining about the cord comments. We get those a lot. Mike, I love your shirt, by the way. When we're talking about Notre Dame quarterbacks, you're rocking the this Hartman Victory March shirt from Homefield.
That's right. Homefield, great product. Love the stuff. But yeah, anytime, dude, we're going to bring up quarterbacks, it's like it's just such a natural thing to do. You know, slight, it's a subtle troll job by myself. But yeah, man, lots of – this quarterback room, Singer, for content creators like you and myself, it's like it is just the gift that keeps on giving, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah. Not that anyone asked, but I'm rocking a Taco Bell shirt. Just happened to be. We already got Why Not Kenny's. Sorry, Mike.
I was just going to say, like, the Taco Bell shirt, do you, like, lifetime membership type thing? You know, you order many cheesy stuff, grilled burritos. They mail you a shirt. Is that how that goes?
Mike, I'm not going to lie. I've said it on the shows, like, hey, Taco Bell, if you're watching this, if this happens to get to you, please get in contact with me. I've spent time trying to get in contact with these people. I need to spend a little bit more time. But I'm working on it, Mike.
Stick with it.
I will. Yeah, Why Not Kenny is going in the YouTube chat.
Yeah.
So, all right, Mike, we'll start with the news of Riley Leonard and his second ankle surgery. Freeman announced this on Saturday. Got the quote pulled up on YouTube. I will read it for you guys as well. This is from Freeman, opening statement of his press conference. Part of what he said to open it said, Riley Leonard will be out a few weeks due to an additional surgery he had on his ankle on Friday to address a stress fracture that was beginning to develop. Basically, the surgery was to exchange the current plate he had in his ankle with a new one. The doctors thought it went extremely well. The overall prognosis and health of his ankle is excellent, so we'll see when he can get back. We're not putting a timetable. We know it's going to be a few weeks. We're not saying he's out for the spring. There could be a chance he comes back and participates in some capacity during spring ball. My read on this, Mike, capacity in spring ball. Yeah, maybe he's standing there, maybe taking some mental reps. He's on the bike in the pit, you know, whatever. Yeah, he's not doing anything for a while. So your reaction to this, Mike, when you get the news, you know, whenever that was for you.
It's really unfortunate for Riley Leonard. I don't anticipate he's going to practice at all during the spring. What can you say that hasn't been said over the last 48 hours regarding this? There's a lot to unpack, per usual, but it's like, you know, this ankle has been a thing since September 30th when Howard Cross rolled him up at the end of the game. Like, it's been a thing. You know, tough kid, Riley gutted it out, tried to play through it, hurts his numbers, you know, his accuracy, all this stuff, because he's just, you know, he's playing on a bum leg. But it's been a thing for a while. And I've taken to calling Riley Leonard an athlete playing quarterback. Okay. So for folks that don't know, like Riley was on schedule to be a basketball player. You know, he was like a mid-tier, like D1, like shooting guard, from what I understand. Football really took front stage, center stage through COVID, because Riley wasn't allowed to go to like these travel AAU circuits, whatever. Duke was his only offer, as far as I'm aware, is to play football. So like Riley is, for all of the physical gifts, for all the God-given ability that he has, like he's still very much a work in progress at the quarterback position. And I was, for one, was looking forward to the challenge that was going to give Coach Gaduli to build him up and just make him better. And like for all the talk of like who's your starter, Angeli, Minchie, like all like that whole world, it's like the big piece is spring ball is to compete and to develop and to get better. Like when you go into fall camp, especially with a game like Texas A&M looming, there's not like a lot of like development, i.e. practicing to get better. The scenario is completely different. So it's like this really hurts Riley Leonard's development overall, because he's not going to do boo during spring ball. So that's like my first takeaway. And then the second thing is this, like, this is kind of why like I started that Patreon. Like there's like goings on with like, how did Riley get here? You know, like, was there a physical involved? Wasn't there a physical involved? And it's like, remember, Mike, when I went out of state to buy that old Land Cruiser? You remember that? Doesn't matter.
I don't, but continue.
So went out of state to buy a Land Cruiser. You know, they run forever. Mine's got 325,000 miles on it. Drive it every day. But it's like, I'm not going to buy a used car sight unseen. You feel me?
Okay.
Like, you want to, what's the rust look like? You know, is the radiator been replaced, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, we bought a used car. We got the Carfax. You could see that it had been in an accident, you know, with the ankle injury against us. Like, you knew the ink, but like, you don't buy a used car sight unseen. So now I'm more interested in like, how does Freeman handle this room? How does Denbrock, what is that like? What does this whole process look like? Because you know, you take the money involved with an acquiring of Riley Leonard, and you are going to assume he's going to be handed the job, for lack of a better expression, just because of the dollar amount. And it's like, what does this look like going into fall camp? If this is a competition, like Freeman said at his last presser, a real competition, and like, is Riley, so Steve's your starter now. Does Riley have to work his way up from second string going into fall ball? Right? Because he can't compete, you know, and he, don't forget that development piece to his game at the quarterback position. So the whole thing is complex.
Yeah.
It's nuanced. You know, Tim Hyde, he's got his thoughts. He's like, you know, if Angeli is the guy in 2025, why can't he be the guy in 2024? You know, and Tim has a lot of great thoughts.
Wait.
He has a hard time, like, making, like, a closing argument. Like, put a bow on.
It's crazy because he's a politician, so I'm shocked he's not good at that.
So, and then you talk about Denbrock, and this is all stuff that we'll spitball during this episode, but, like, 2 years in a row, Notre Dame gets a transferred quarterback. 2 years in a row, that transfer quarterback isn't working with the offensive coordinator that he signed to play for, right? You know, Hartman landed when Reese was still here before he went off to Bama. So then Parker inherited this quarterback, and then Denbrock had really nothing to do with Riley coming over in the portal. Now he inherits him. It's just fascinating stuff.
Okay.
And then that whole room, really the only guy that Denbrock was involved with at the tail end of that recruitment was like Carr. If even, I mean, Carr was an early, I mean, take that back, because Carr was an early enrollee. He was practicing in the bowl team. Denbrock didn't even come over yet. So it's like all four quarterbacks Denbrock had nothing to do with. And how does that play out into this decision? Lots. And then the only other thing, Mike, sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, go.
Put a quarter in me. I'm just looking through my notes here. The lack of fanfare for Riley Leonard has been endlessly fascinating, Singer.
We talk about this every show, I feel like. And I give you the same answer.
It's because people were, they got their hearts broken by Hartman. Like, it was a little bit of a letdown. He didn't meet the expectations.
Yeah, he's a heartthrob. And they're sad he's gone. And you know, I think it's really just that.
It's not that.
No, but seriously, I think it's very much, you know,
once bitten, twice shy type deal.
There you go. I was going to say the fool me once, but I always screw it up, so I'm not going to say it. That whole thing.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, but the only time we really hear of Riley Leonard is injury news. So it's like, you don't want to go too far out on a limb, but like, I'm a little worried about, like, big picture 2024. What does this mean for Riley Leonard? He's not going to get to practice, improve, work with all the fine, minute details of playing the quarterback position. And then he goes into like fall camp, getting ready for a huge matchup with A&M with like no practice.
Okay. I want to dive into that part, Mike, from a player's perspective. He gets here in January, right? True 1 year rental. This is it. Unless the NCAA grants a heavenly favor or something. I don't know. The Pope calls in something. You know,
who knows with the NCAA anymore?
Correct.
Who knows?
He had the setback earlier this year. Notre Dame gets him back, right? Shows him off with the medicine ball. He's injured again, right? There's a lot like, oh, he's going to miss some time in spring ball. No, he's not. Now he is, right? So basically gets, four spring practices. I can't remember which one today. They had practice today. I don't know what number that was. Maybe five or six. So he gets a few spring practices out. I would guess out of, you know, workouts through, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but let's just say he's out of most of May too. What does the summer look like for him? June, July? Then you get fall camp. As a player who is just getting used to Notre Dame, and you've talked about the development piece. Sam Hartman came here as a finished product. He is not. So how concerned are you right now about the player who, unless he is not healthy, we fully anticipate him to start, right? If he's healthy or healthy enough, he's the starting quarterback. So with all this in mind, Mike, are you concerned much?
I think Singer, you just walked that back a little bit. You just said if he's healthy, he's your starter.
Correct.
I guess what I'm saying, I don't know if that's the case anymore, dude.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the case anymore.
So lay out that scenario, Mike. Lay out that scenario. He's at least healthy enough, but he's not the guy. What does that look like?
Oh, so you're saying, so what you're asking me, just to make sure we're on the same page, is like going into A&M, he's fully healthy.
Right, because you're saying that's a possibility for you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That out for me. What would that look like?
In terms of like what the actual depth chart would be?
How Notre Dame would not start him.
I'll say this. Let me get my bearings to that question, but I'll say this, like Freeman's last presser, and we've talked about this. Marcus needs to get better at those like big room press conferences. I love him in these little intimate, like one-on-one. I saw him interviewed at the pro day, like loved it. That's what I think of, like Marcus sitting in a living room. That's like that recruiting thing. He knocks it out of the park in these little intimate interview settings. But at that pulpit, he sometimes tends to struggle. There's a couple follow-up questions about the depth chart, you know, quarterbacks picking a starter, whatever. And not that he started sweating, but he was a little shook. I don't know if Marcus knows what this is going to look like. I don't. I mean, this is a huge wrench that's been thrown into it. I'm just telling you, man, it's a quarterback that has a lot of God-given ability that needs work. And that's what spring is really for. He's sort of crowned the starter based off of the transaction that already took place. But now you don't get that work. So that just means Steve Angeli's getting better. It means Kenny Minchie's getting better while Riley's collecting dust riding a bike. You know, so I don't know. I mean, does that mean that week three he doesn't supersede whoever the starter is? Like if Steve were to start against A&M and plays great, maybe he holds him off. But if he plays so-so, maybe that gives you a reason enough to like elevate Riley Leonard. But it's I don't know, and that's kind of what Tim Hyde has tried to tell, try to explain. It's like, what is the plan here? What is the immediate short-term plan with this room? And what is the long-term plan with this room? And sitting here today, like I don't have a confident answer with it either.
Yeah. Yeah. For folks watching on YouTube, we got a practice clip from a week or two ago of all four quarterbacks, you know, going through a little drill. And I just love you have the handsome Sam Hartman just looking back, or he's behind, just looking on. I love this clip. One of my favorites.
Yeah, okay, Sam Hartman. If Sam Hartman was at practice wearing this shirt, I wouldn't be surprised. Reading reports, reading opinions on the injury thing, like the general consensus is, and it's a straight line and it's an obvious answer. It's like, well, this is great for the rest of the room, right? Kenny Minchie gets to get more reps. CJ Carr gets to get more reps. Angeli gets to just maybe get more and more, you know, ownership of the team. But they're glossing over, like, big picture, what does this mean for Riley Leonard? And okay, it's not good. And then we're talking about a quarterback competition. Freeman loves to talk about the quarterback competition. Some of that's kind of said in jest because we know, like, a Hartman was guaranteed the job. So if this is a competition, and then somehow, like, going into fall camp, like, Riley's getting all the number one reps, if he were a first round pick, like, you would understand.
Yeah,
like, he's a top five pick. He's the future of the franchise. You would understand that, but that this isn't that.
Yeah, I'm almost like, or I am pretty thankful that Freeman had this as a quarterback competition, so that even though I don't believe that was really ever a thing, it kind of has to be now.
It has to be.
You have to keep Steve and the guys very engaged.
And then he said something to the effect of, well, this makes it easy on Coach Scaduli. You know, Steve runs with the ones, Kenny runs with the twos. And if there's a scenario, this is almost verbatim. I watched the press conference twice. He said, like, verbatim, and if there's a scenario where we're only running ones and twos, we can sprinkle in CJ Carr with Kenny. You know, they can go back and forth with the twos. And there was a follow-up question, which I appreciated, and they were like, well, what is that? Does that mean, like, long-term that's the case? And then in terms of this, is this depth chart concrete? And he was like, well, for today it is. And he's like, and probably tomorrow. But he was like, I love that this is going to be a quarterback competition, which is the natural response. But I'm just saying, big picture, Riley ain't going to practice during the spring. He's got to heal up over the summer. And then we will find out what type of competition this is come fall camp, to be like, what's the rep share based off of what we get to see at practice. And then the only other thing, and I've texted you and Hyde about this, is like, Riley Leonard, in comparison to the other three quarterbacks, forgive me, Singer, but he's out of shape. He's out of shape. He's not, you know, you're looking at muscle tone. I mean, CJ Carr comes in as a freshman, and you expect these freshmen to have a little baby fat, like we saw with Angeli, like we saw with Minchie before they kind of clean their bodies up, you know, in this college weight room, college nutrition, whatever. I just wasn't blown away by Riley's, like, overall aesthetic and how that relates to, like, general conditioning. I wasn't blown away. So I'm like, he's not as fit as I would like an athletic quarterback to be.
Okay. Mike, so can we go like 60-second sound bites on all four scholarship quarterbacks? And then we can dive into more of them, or we can dive into each of them more specifically. But do you 60, think
60 seconds a piece? I mean, you gotta help me out.
I know. All right,
yeah.
Okay.
Hit me.
Riley Leonard, your outlook for him between now and Texas A&M, What are you thinking about him? And we've been talking about him for a while now, but what is your 60-second outlook on Riley Leonard right now?
When I think about Riley Leonard and I think about the A&M game, my mind jumps right back to Freeman and Denbrock. And the transactional piece to the free agent signing, the NIL deal, the competition, that's where my brain goes, is what is this going to look like? But ultimately, if you take out the money piece, Angeli's ahead of him. If you take that out, he's ahead of him in terms of like locker room type stuff. Just even the nuances of playing the quarterback position. Now, he might not have some of the same physical gifts or traits that a Riley Leonard does, but in terms of like just on paper, like quarterback stuff, he's going to be ahead. So yeah. Then that goes back to come fall camp. If Riley's working in with the ones, it's going to make myself and maybe that locker room kind of raise an eyebrow. Be like, wait a minute.
You know, what's your 60-second outlook now on Steve Angeli? What do Notre Dame fans need to know about where Steve Angeli fits into this whole situation now after the Riley Leonard injury, which again, it's not the end of the world, but there is a pattern of issues here with this ankle and its durability.
Yeah. So when you say outlook, these are just thoughts that come to mind. If I'm Steve Angeli, I am trying to rid myself of that Brian Kelly conservative, and that's the guy that recruited him, right? You know, and he was under Kelly, under Reese, like some of that formative DNA of like that conservative quarterback play, you know, the check down guy, right? I'm trying to rid myself of that, and I'm trying to let him hang this spring. Show Coach Denbrock all that I can do versus I make the right decision. I want him to be able to like envision if this is a live fire game, high stakes, SEC athletes lined up on, you know, playoff type scenario, I've got what it takes to win us a game. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's what I think about with Angeli. Shut people like me up.
Hashtag why not Kenny, Mike? How does this impact Kenny Minchie, if at all? What's your outlook on him right now?
I still think he's got the most talented arm in the room. It's my understanding he's the fastest of the quarterbacks. It's my understanding he's kind of a more of a gamer singer than he is like a practice guy. So like obvious example, be like, think of like a Brett Favre, right? Can roll out of bed and go play a game, but he's not going to be the most diligent practice player. And that would be my challenge to Kenny this spring is like, spring is all about growing, competing, developing. That's a piece of your persona, a piece of your game, play style. You've got to get better in that practice scenario, but at the same time, also let them hang. You know, show off that arm talent when the time arises. But Kenny probably, dude, hasn't been given much of a chance at, you know, up to this point in his Notre Dame career, and you really couldn't ask for much more than where he's at right now. But I will say, you know, there's been talk about somebody leaving via the transfer portal. And that's why I was like, well, why can't Angeli leave? Or why couldn't Carr leave? Shit, why couldn't Riley Leonard leave? You know, why is it always focused at Kenny? He would be the odd man out. So however this rep share gets broken down, that'll be curious because there's a player decision to enter a portal. And there's also the coaches are having conversations. You know, this isn't like player X wakes up one day and says, to hell with this, I'm jumping in the portal. There's conversations that take place. So I'm curious to see the Angeli Minchie onesie, twosie rep share, how that breaks down.
Okay. And then lastly, CJ Carr. Yeah, I mean, QB4 right now is a true freshman, but I'm curious your initial thoughts on him right now in this quarterback room. Moving forward,
based on remember, like they had the one practice and they went on spring break for 10 days or whatever. Based off of the coverage, it was like we do have other quarterbacks on the roster not named CJ Carr. So I was like, that was kind of telling to me in terms of like how Notre Dame football, all of the different entities covered this thing because there was a lot of CJ Carr talk. And like we love Colin Cowherd, and Colin Cowherd always talks about I talk about what you guys are interested in. So I'm sure there's an element of just fans wanting to see CJ, but.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, he looks great. Looks great. I still prefer Kenny's arm talent over CJ. And I just think of like, I mean, Kenny versus CJ, and I'm going to keep trying to weave Kenny into this thing. CJ is probably more polished in terms of like presentation value, you know, having been groomed and kind of grew up with the sport and around big time characters, et cetera. So, I mean, CJ's, he's not going to have any missteps. And he's like a kind of a package deal, but we're going to find out how talented he is. But it's kind of a wait and see deal there.
Okay. All right. I like that, Mike.
I can't Singer last thought about CJ. I don't know how this thing's going to shake out, but I just, I think about Deuce Knight way too much. Right, dude. So it's all like, right. If Carr were to ever become the guy early on ish, might it make it more difficult to transition to a Deuce? So that's kind of why I'm always like, hashtag, why not Kenny? If Kenny were to be your starter for a year or two, to me, it makes it easier to roll into Deuce.
Mm. What you about know? This scenario, Mike? Let's say Leonard starts half the games, knock on wood. Something happened. I don't know. I think... If I were to say by the end of the year, for one reason or another, Angeli is starting, I don't think people would be like, that is the most ridiculous thing. So let's just play that. Angeli, knocking on wood, but let's just play Angeli starts at the end of the year. Looks pretty good. Whether that means they're in a playoff game or not, I don't know. But let's just say you look good. And then they roll with him for a couple years. He's got two more years of eligibility after this season. Freeman likes to be comfortable with his quarterback, know what he has, all that good stuff. And Jelly will be a guy going into his fourth year in 2025. And then in this scenario, Angeli's done. You have.
We're on to 2026, right?
You got. Right. I mean, this is crazy talking this far in advance, but you know.
No, it's not, dude. It's Notre Dame football, man.
Yeah, it's March 25th. I mean, come on. You would have CJ Carr going to his junior year, Deuce Knight going into a sophomore year. In this scenario, you'd think Kenny would be gone by then. It'd be tasty to go from Angeli to potentially Knight at that point, Mike. What do you think about my crazy little scenario here?
Dude, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. All I'll say about Steve is you can have this, Mike, but Angeli's army, right? You are the lieutenant in Angeli. General Singer is leading Angeli's army. The fan base that's pushing for Steve. Make a t-shirt, Angeli's army. People, Notre Dame fans, want a homegrown product. And I do think that that's part of why Riley Leonard isn't getting a lot of fanfare. People are ready for a homegrown product. Steve is next in line. My question about Steve is, live fire elite athletes on the other side of the offensive line or other side of the ball. Can he get loose? Can he make some magic happen in a way that I believe Riley Leonard can, in a way I believe Kenny Minchie can, and probably CJ Carr, and certainly Deuce Knight can? Because that's the thing that people have to understand is like playoff football, top tier matchups, stuff breaks down. It just does. And it's like, who's a guy that can manage that scenario? And that's my question to Steve. Can he squirt loose? Can he find room? Can he wiggle out of there? Can he make something happen? Because that's like those defensive ends and those outside linebackers and whomever, those blitzers, I mean, they're on scholarship too. Nothing is going to be blocked perfect 100% of the time. And the tougher the matchup, the more elite the athletes are, the more likely it's going to happen. You got an inexperienced offensive line you're going to be rolling out. It's like, that's why I kind of want an athlete back there that can make a bad offensive line, an inexperienced, I shouldn't say bad. Take that back, redact that. An inexperienced offensive line that can make them right if they have a physical error, a mental error, whatever. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I don't know, man. That'll be the test. That'll be the test. Does Steve get swallowed up like you saw Sam Hartman would get sometimes just enveloped by a rush versus somebody that can squirt loose and keep their eyes downfield?
I don't know. I'm biased as hell on this one, Mike. I love the kid.
I think he's got shit to him, man.
I'm rooting for him. Angeli's a hard guy not to like. I'm rooting for Angeli. I just believe that Kenny Minchie has more physical gifts. That's what I think.
Yeah, he might, but I think Angeli's got some New Jersey shit to him. It's one tough mofo.
No doubt. But dude, that's yet another Notre Dame quarterback, and we're talking about his intangibles. I'm so sick of it.
Dude, there has been Notre Dame quarterbacks who have been the elite athletes that did not pan out either. So I don't
upside.
One's on the lacrosse team right now. I mean, I don't know, dude. At some, I get your intangible points. At some point, just give me a quarterback. I just want to just give me the guy. I just want the guy, you know?
I thought about this last night in terms of the excitement and kind of really, frankly, like the hype around Angeli, like that Angeli's army, the pro Angeli crowd. Totally get it because he's the next man up. Again, I think fans are clamoring for a homegrown product. Totally get it. But he was Mike, three-star-ish, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Putting you on the spot, Singer, since you're the general of Angeli's army. I'm going to keep saying it so it catches on. Hashtag why not Kenny, same difference. What is the NFL draft pick / round equivalent to a third three-star quarterback? Is that a fifth-round pick, fourth-round, sixth-round? What does that look like?
I mean, there's like –
answer the question. Come on.
I think there's probably over 1,000 three-stars, so it's anywhere from fifth to undrafted. You're not playing in the league.
Okay. So that's where I was just thinking about that last night, and I'm like, I totally get it. Like, Steve's a Notre Dame dude. John and I talk about it on the Patreon all the time. Like, the Notre Dame-iness of Angeli is very appealing to people. And CJ Carr will be the exact same way.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
if we're getting excited about a sixth-round pick.
No, I don't know. I don't think people are like over the moon about it. I think people who are, Mike, as someone who's leading this army that you're speaking of, all I've been seeing is Angeli slander for years, whether it's right or wrong, we'll see. But it's more coming around to him because people are just over the Leonard thing. It's more, I feel like it's more about over the Leonard thing and some good signs and some garbage time and against Oregon State, but it's more about just being over the Leonard experiment already from just seeing what I read on a daily basis and YouTube comments on the message board. So,
and you know what's crazy about the Leonard experiment? You said people are over the Leonard experiment. It might be over. And that's what we're talking about. No spring ball, no continuity. No progression.
I hope not. No
work with Coach Gino. You know, he's going to be injured 6 to 8 weeks. If you Google the injury, 6 to 8 weeks. It's just, yeah, this isn't how Freeman drew it up. If he did draw it up, and it's and again, I'm putting words in Tim Hyde's mouth, but like that's where Tim Hyde's frustrations with Coach Freeman in the quarterback room and the way all this has been handled is like what. What was the plan? Was there a plan? What was it?
Yeah, but then Tim will go back to what was the plan, and then he'll be like, well, it should be Angeli. Well, I'll be like, well, Tim, do you like Angeli? And I'll be like, no, not really. I'm like, all right, Tim, I don't really know what you want, bro. No, you know me and Tim, he talks in circles. Love you, Tim. I know you're watching while you're doing the dishes. I love you, Tim. We'll talk Wednesday. Mike, Angeli and Carr – similarities and differences, and you really only have, you know, the limited Angeli film, practice film, and high school stuff to go off of, and him and Carr, you know, just your 3 minutes of clips you get, and then, you know, high school film. I'm curious of your comparison between the two, Carr and Angeli.
I think similar arm strength. Steve does throw a pretty ball, but the release is kind of slow. Like the whole, and again, go just, I want you to picture that, Mike, like live fire, live bullets, SEC defense. Like it ain't going to be pretty. You know, this isn't mop up duty. It's not playing Oregon State and their ragtag defense. Like this is real S here, right? Does he have time to make all those beautiful throws? Does he have time to get his feet underneath him, et cetera? I think they throw a similar ball, similar arm strength.
Mike, can I interrupt you? The on three ranked Carr by far the lowest. Do you know what their issue, for the lack of a better term, with him was? The live fire, like reps, like what you're talking about, that was like on three, like the game, like he needs the game to slow down for him. Like that was their thing on Carr.
Well, this is the thing. So let's help me stay on track. Per usual, you asked me about the comparisons between the two. Again, they both above average arm strength, nothing elite.
Mm-hmm.
CJ has a quicker release to me. He comes off his ear, which I'm not crazy about. I mean, Joe Walt's 6'9" for crying out loud. I mean, that ball comes off his ear in terms of like the release point. And then, you know, when I talked about CJ being, you know, polished, like that camp circuit, the quarterback coach thing, right? It's like he's gone through these quarterback workouts where it's like, okay, it looks good in a camp type scenario. But then again, if it's a live fire type thing, can you play spontaneously? I don't know. And then I talk about a Kenny Minchie, can throw from all different kind of arm slots. And he kind of has a little bit of that like aw shucks like persona where it's like he wasn't groomed and probably didn't have a quarterback coach and all this. Like what you're seeing with the Kenny Minchie is just natural talent. And then I heard recently, like I said, he's the fastest in the room. So you could draw a comparison between Angeli and like their upbringing, their comeuppance, their background, the types of high schools that they played for. You could absolutely draw a comparison. CJ Carr, probably faster, better athlete overall, quicker release, similar arm strength. You know, but I watched like CJ Carr's film and I was like, if Lloyd Carr wasn't his granddad, might he be ranked a little bit lower?
Yeah. And like, I'm with you, dude. I was talking to somebody about Angeli and comparing those two. I've seen Angeli in person several times. He was a recruit. Same with Carr. I'm like, I kind of get similar vibes with them, Mike. And Carr,
the way they carry themselves,
all of it, the whole package, on the field, off the field. I think Carr, on three ranks and too low, in my opinion. I think like the borderline five stars, probably too high. And I think that Angeli was ranked too low. I think that they're fairly similar quarterbacks.
Let me ask you this, Singer. Kenny was top 10 coming out of high school, right? And he had a very quiet commitment, you know, commits to Pitt, you know, didn't really do any of the recruiting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 talent. CJ Carr, Angeli, to you, and maybe I'm putting you on the spot, are they a top 10 talent? Generally speaking, year over year, are they a top 10 talent? Forget about the stars. I'm talking about talent.
Like at the quarterback position?
No, at freaking defensive end, dude.
Well, I didn't know if you meant like, okay. Dude, I don't know.
Nah, I figured.
I really don't know, Mike. I don't know. I don't watch enough of the other quarterbacks to say.
Yeah. But I mean, 3 years in a row, I'm begging for a quarterback that can make something happen when a play goes sideways.
Yeah.
That's what I'm begging for.
Yeah. Yeah. You have obviously very strong opinions on Minchie. I don't. I really don't.
Listen, I don't have as strong of a feeling towards, I'm not as excited about Minchie as I was Buckner. And again, I just think Buckner, it was a unique kid in terms of like scratch golfers playing D1 lacrosse. You know what I'm saying? The kid was a stud. It didn't work out. I don't feel quite the same way. I don't have the same level of excitement for Kenny as I did a Buckner. I'm just saying, when I started the hashtag why not Kenny, it was because it was always assumed that he was going to be the odd man out. And I'm like, hang on, guys. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. Why can't Angeli transfer? Why can't Carr transfer? You know, it was always – it was people probably prop Carr up too much, again, because of the last name, because of the polish, all that stuff, the Notre Dame-iness of a CJ Carr. And people are rooting hard for Steve. And then, again, that was my whole thing with hashtag why not Kenny was like, hey, let's not write him off. And that was before the second Riley Leonard injury.
You know, you sound like me with CJ or with Steve Angeli for the past.
That's fair. I just think, I get it. I agree, but I think Kenny is more gifted as a thrower.
He might be.
So, and that's where, again, if he is a gamer, I dig it, but that's an excuse. I dig it, but it's like, you're not going to convince Den Brock and Gino and Coach Freeman. You're not going to, dude, just let me play in the game. Like, I'm a gamer. The world doesn't work like that. So that's the challenge, Kenny, is spring ball, grow up a little bit, you know, be a pro. And that's a part of your game that you need to develop, that maturity, the study habits, whatever, right? Not to say that he doesn't study, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Would you, like, I've been saying that this Notre Dame quarterback room, Leonard injury aside, like just the talent that they've assembled with these four scholarships, and then even if you want to add in Deuce coming in, and then hell, if you want to look at where they're at in 2026, Mike, we might be doing our next show talking about a 2026 quarterback commitment, like just the way things are trending so fast. Would you agree that this quarterback room is the best it's been in quite some time, right? Probably, I don't know, Clausen-ish time? Like, just from 1 to 4 and then the recruiting. I mean, I think it's as good as it's been a long time.
Listen, I'm just happy they're all 6-1 plus. I mean, that's a win in and of itself. But yes, it's a good room, and that begs the question, why even bring in a Riley Leonard? You know, stop kicking the can down the road as a program and let's build something. You know, build some. Freeman's talking about continuity. It's like, huh, how ironic. Let's build some. But yeah, the room looks good. It seems like they're all going to be there. You know, nobody's going to transfer out after that spring window, depending on how this rep share gets broken down. You know, if I'm Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr somehow is getting reps and 7-on-7 with the ones or whatever, some of that stuff's like a slap in the face. So I'm really curious to see how this rep share works out.
Yeah.
You know, Steve has a bad day, does Kenny elevate? If Kenny has a bad day, does CJ Carr elevate, et cetera, et cetera? It's really interesting.
I'm going to throw a wild question at you, Mike, if I may. And then I want to see what else is out there for that you'd want to chit-chat about. So I talked about the Notre Dame fans. You had the Hartman experiment. Didn't quite work out like you would have hoped. And then you have Leonard come in. And then there's the injuries. Fans are kind of like, I'm tired of it. Right? They're like, all right, let's move on. If you're a linebacker on this team, Mike, if you're a fifth-year linebacker, captain, do you feel like the fans do? Do you not care? Or are you like, I've been with Steve's, you know, for the past 3 years. I want to ride with him. What would your take be on this? From the player perspective, what would your take be?
Take on what, Singer? Be more specific, please.
Your take on be like, no, like, would you agree with how the fans are thinking? Would you like, no, I think Riley gives us the best chance. I go on a roll with him. Do you not really care? You're just focused more on, you know, improving the defense.
There's, again, as we say, on Patreon, like the word nuance gets thrown around. If that was a drinking game, you'd be hammered an hour into it. There's a lot of nuance there. Yeah. If I'm on the defensive side of the ball, I'm kind of more worried about my unit to be specific, but I'm not dodging the question. I don't think Singer, it's a, like, I'm rooting for Steve, you know, on the team, right? I'm on Steve, and like the other, another kid in the locker room next to me is like, no, I'm rooting for Kenny. And the other one's like, no, I think Riley's the best. It doesn't work like that. I'm saying that the piece of the competition piece, and I got scorched last year talking about how bringing in a Hartman might affect the locker room or whatever, whatever. And it comes down to the competition thing. Because I compete my ass off all winter. I compete my ass off all summer conditioning, compete during spring ball. Like, I'm competing. I won my job. Or I'm hoping to win my job as a starting corner, starting safety, you name the spot. And then this guy is given the job after injuries and all that stuff. That would be problematic in a locker room to me. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That, I don't think the kids, the other team, his teammates, the that quarterback room's teammates, I doubt that they're rooting for particular players. They might have friendships. You know, Kenny was in my class. I'm rooting for Kenny. You know, yeah. I was in Steve's class, right? There's a degree of that, but it comes down to that competition talk. Is it just empty that we're just saying that? Or is this a real competition? Because now it should be. There's no way going into fall camp, dude, Singer. There's no way going into fall camp, Riley Leonard could be your starter. He hasn't had a chance to compete all spring. There's no way.
That's if it was a competition, you know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that could get sticky.
Yeah. All right. I think that wraps up quarterback talk, Mike. What else is on your mind, man? What else is inside the mind of Mike?
Oh, some of these position battle things, and like, I sometimes kind of get into, dude, like kids that I root for, you know, kids that I'm a fan of. Like, starting like back to front, like, I hope Adon Shuler wins his job. I hope he does. We already brought in a Northwestern safety transfer a couple years ago who happened to be an All-American who like didn't do boo while he was here at Notre Dame. So Rod Hurd's coming in. I believe that Rod Hurd is going to compete with Jordan Clark for the starting nickel. That's what I believe. And Adon Shuler, man, he just looks the part. He is long as they come. And he's kind of a scary looking dude back there. And any inexperience, I'm going to hope that Xavier can help get him lined up. Christian Gray, you've been talking about him since high school. I mean,
he's a freak.
Dude, this is your humerus. Don't quote me on that. Like your humerus bone, like your upper arm. His arms are stupid long. I mean, he's a longer athlete than Benjamin Morrison, is if you can believe it. I saw some clips, and I know Jaden Mickey's kind of in that talk. I saw some clips just breaking down this. I said this to John, that first spring practice, like I watched like a 90-second, 2-minute clip of, you know, like the warm-ups and that. And I was looking at that like it was scrambled porn. Like I was 13 years old trying to watch scrambled porn, you know? That's how intently I was watching it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't know if Jaden Mickey has the foot speed that a Morrison, that a Christian Gray does. So I'm just like, I know he's in the mix in terms of like, who's the opposite corner, Morrison? I'm here to say I believe it's Christian Gray. Bryce Young.
Hold on, Mike.
Yes.
I want to talk about Christian Gray real quick.
Please.
I'm popping up a tweet on the screen. Check the date. This is June 3rd, 2021. So this would have been before his junior year of high school, I think. He ran a 4.42 and a 4.40 at Ohio State.
Damn, I'd love to see what his reach was.
Yeah. Well, at 6'1", 170. So, he's a freak. So 3 years ago, he's running 4.4. Even if it was hand timed or something, you're even getting close to that twice. Kid's a freak. Huge Christian Gray fan over here.
I told you that corner that I trained, Avante Dickerson, that ended up being a top 10 corner nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State doesn't recruit the state of Nebraska. I know the guy over there. So he went to camp at Ohio State. And that's absolutely an electronic time. I mean, they're not hand timing out there at a camp like that. So, yeah, it's special, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a talented kid. So, bro, remember like when you and I first started doing this and I would fumble my way through these shows and like all we could talk about was talent on the edges. Remember that? Like that was like, you almost didn't want to watch the games. I can't even imagine how fans felt, but it's like wide receiver talent and corner talent. It's like that conversation, at least on the defensive side, is you can put it to rest.
Yeah. And then you're talking about Bryce Young.
Oh, I just saw a clip of him the other day. And I mean, he should be a 3-year player for us. That's an NFL kid. That's like first round pick type. He was walking past Jordan Batello in this clip. He's like a foot taller than him. And, you know, Freeman kind of gave him a shout out in terms of freshmen that have impressed. But yeah, dude, this kid was in high school like 6 months ago. It's insane. And there's Jordan. There's Batello to Bryce's left there with the visor on, you know, and he was a starter for us. So the height, the arm length, I mean, like, could he be like a Stephon Tuitt for us? So I'm just running through my list of just players that I'm kind of excited to see. I saw that Freeman mentioned that they're holding out Eli Raridan. You know, they're kind of picking their spots. He had a little bit of a muscle pull, which I enjoyed seeing. All this talk, Singer, of Den Brock loving to be an 11 personnel. And with Mitch Evans being hurt and the two guys behind Raridan, and again, they're fine players, but they're not like unique talents like an Eli is. So I like the fact that they're kind of throttling him back a little bit.
Okay.
The players behind him, they're not going to keep a defensive coordinator awake at night in the way I think Eli potentially can.
Okay. Okay. Good deal, Mike.
Dude, I just talked for like 50 minutes straight.
I chatted here and there.
Yeah. You got any super chats on there? Or any?
I turned them off for a few weeks. So I think people are just getting used to the fact that we have them back on. So they're not flying. We did have one comment.
Deion Colsey got hurt, Mike, by the way.
I don't want to talk about it. Simkev said, couldn't Leonard sit out this year and then transfer again for 25? I mean, he could. I think he actually could just sit out this year and play Notre Dame next year. So, because I think he's just played every year. He has a year of he could take a medical or something.
Yeah, earlier today, I wanted to double check. Yeah, he has 1 year of eligibility left.
Yeah.
And
but I think he can still redshirt, or this could be like a medical redshirt year or something.
Oh, but could he transfer out after spring, hypothetically?
I don't know, dude. I don't know what the rules are anymore, man. They changed so much. And then you had the Proctor kid transfer twice within like 2 months. So, yeah, Brody did send one in. He said, Chief Brody said he hates that you're always right or something like that.
So the Riley Leonard, and again, this is we're just talking here. We're chit chatting.
Tim Hyde. Yep.
So if you never did a medical, if you never did a physical on a Riley Leonard, even though there was like a transaction that took place, there's no guarantee that like Riley Leonard's gonna stay. Not even at all suggesting that could be the case. But like if he wanted to, he could dip out. It's like, well, wait a minute. We paid you all this money. He's like, yeah. I mean, he didn't sign a contract. You know, like when you talk about like sports agents, like guys going to the NFL, there might be an agent that'll float you 50 grand in the hopes that like you sign with him. You could take that money and go sign with somebody else. None of that's binding. Hashtag why not, Kenny?
All right, dude. Anything else? The answer can be no, Mike.
I mean, offensive line, people love to talk about. My only thought on offensive line, and of course it's not my only thought, I'm not worried about it.
Me neither, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not at all. I love the O-line.
Why? Just bigger athletes?
I think partly because I covered all of them. This is the first year I think I've covered every offensive lineman they recruits. Mm-hmm. I love Charles Jagasaw. I think he can play tackle or guard. And you've got to understand, my Notre Dame sources have been freaking out about this kid, you know, for years at this point. I love the story of Tosh Baker staying in this age, Mike. I love that he stayed. And, yeah, he's 6'8". And then I think between Coogan, Spindler, and Trouth, you have three really good guards. You know, the guy who doesn't start of that group probably starts at, what, 95% of college football programs in this country. And then you got, you know, like a top five center in college football in Ashton Craig. So I'm excited.
I like that. I think it's there's enough talent there, and I know they're young, and I know continuity, experience, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I heard Horka say, like, on a show, like, it's Spindler's job to lose. Okay. I don't think that's the case. I just feel like, and maybe this is me just wishful thinking, Singer.
Okay.
That there's going to be some experimentation along that offensive line in terms of even positions.
Hopefully not in the middle of the game.
Yes, NC State. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I forgot about that. But, like, am I totally convinced that Jagasaw is going to be a starting left tackle at Notre Dame for the next 3 years? I'm not. Might they move him around? Am I, like, is Emil Wagner married to the right tackle position? I don't believe that's the case. I'm just telling you. And I love the fact that Emil Wagner's weight has become a thing. I want that to kind of create a little bit of external pressure on Emil.
Oh, that's been a thing since he was like a junior in high school.
But now his time has come. You feel me?
All right. So what do you think about that? Like, you know, you got to wonder if it's Coach Beaker or not, but what, he's 290, 295.
He's definitely bigger than the list at 281 physically looking.
Yeah. I did see a quote where someone was like, I don't know why they're talking about 280 pounds. And I'm like, you guys have him listed at 6'6", 281, so maybe that's why people are calling him 280 pounds. But, yeah, if he's 290, 295, do you think that he's fine? Like, he can play that? Play that?
Well, yes, I do. But maybe not on the right side.
Okay.
There's data behind this. Of course, I don't have it. But, like, offenses have a propensity to run to the right more than they do the left.
Yeah.
Right? It's like – that's kind of what I'm saying in terms of the experimentation thing. It's like, why couldn't you? And for anybody that's going to poo-poo what I'm about to say, it's like, go back to last fall camp where, like, Pat Coogan came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So none of this is set in stone, but, like, why couldn't you kick Emil over to left tackle, and then maybe you'd have a Coogan or something, somebody with a little bit more experience lined up next to him, maybe a Shrouth has played for us to help him out. Craig at center, Jagasaw at right guard, and Baker at right tackle. I mean, none of this stuff is set in stone. You know what I'm saying? But do I like him at 290 on the right side of the line? Maybe not as much as I like him at playing left tackle.
Okay.
But he's an NFL. I mean, I can remember watching his tape with you. He's a first-round pick in terms of his feet and his bend and his athleticism. There's no doubt about it. Now, I will say, Joe Alt, what a stud.
Mm.
He was interviewed, you know, at his pro day, the little Notre Dame podcast deal, and they were talking about him gaining weight and all this. And he was like, yeah, man. And this is what I need, like, Emil to understand. And I've had teammates that went through this. Like, Joe Alt's waking himself up at 2:30 in the morning to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So it's not like that weight gain happens accidentally, Singer.
Right.
You know, like, you're literally force feeding yourself to put on those pounds. So it's like, that's that conversation. And I said this the other day on Patreon, like, if I'm Coach Rudolph, if I'm Denbrock, I literally tell Emil, like, Emil, you get to 295, you're starting. That's it. And just, we always talk about dangle that carrot. You get to 295, job's yours, brother.
I would love that. I would love that too.
Yeah.
Got to see him in high school, sweetheart of a kid. And his recruiting process was kind of crazy. Committed to Notre Dame when no one thought he was. So,
he's a fantastic player. I mean, could Emil play guard? I mean, like I said, that's what spring's for. And I just tend to think if they have an athlete behind them under center, if I'm putting together an offensive line, I can shoot for upside as opposed to stability. If I have more of a statuesque, lesser athlete at quarterback, I'm going to go a little bit more conservative. There's no mental errors. Their assignment correct. Maybe a little bit less physically talented, but I'm not going to lose sleep over them missing an assignment. Okay. If there is an athlete, I can go more upside on the offensive line to me.
Okay. All right, Mike. I think we're going to wrap up tonight's show right there, folks. Please hit the thumbs up on this video if you've not done so yet. Subscribe to our Blue and Gold YouTube channel, of course, for more content. If you're listening via podcast, appreciate you guys as well. Please leave us a kind review wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, our offer for our YouTube and podcast audience over at blueandgold.com, our premium subscription is $1 for 2 months when you use the promo code UND1 as a new subscriber. So please check that out. Go to Mike's Twitter accounts and his Twitter bio. He has his Patreon link. So if you guys just cannot get enough of Mike Goolsbee,
that's what it is.
Go to his Twitter bio. There's a link right there. And you can hear from Goolsbee and the always entertaining and very handsome John Kennedy. So, that's going to wrap up tonight's show. I really appreciate you guys for tuning in. And as always, we will catch you next time.